Okay. Open your Bibles up to Psalms chapter 5, verse 11. And the word of faith circles, I know if you've been around it any time at all, you've heard somebody say, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, that's cool to say, but if you don't understand it, you're probably not enjoying it. But here's something that you always need to remember. Grace removes guilt. And mercy removes misery. Now look at Psalms chapter 5, verse 11. Well, let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will thou compass him as with a shield. Now, the Bible makes it clear, when you get born again, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you're the righteous. You got to understand, you're in right standing with God. That's just the way it is. That's what righteousness means. You're in right standing with God. Whatever was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now you're in right standing. So right here it says, you are blessed because you're the righteousness of God. With favor, he compasses you with the shield. So you have been blessed with the shield of the largest size, and it's called favor. It covers the whole body. The shield here is the favor or grace of Jehovah. You are literally fenced in and covered over as with a screen. You're shielded and defended. You know, I read an interesting story about these goat herders in Africa. And they would take their goats, they'd make these little pins out of these thorns. It'd be like hedges. And they would take these goats to these pins, and they put them in there at nighttime, and that's where they'd be. Well, these lions would come up to the pen, and they'd roar at these goats. Now, if those goats played it cool and just stayed in their pen, they were safe. Them lions could roar all they wanted, but they could not touch them. However, if one of those goats got scared and got out of his little pen and tried to run, he was toast. You know, Christians are the same way. You know, we have a hedge of protection around us. And there's 364 verses in the Bible that say, fear not. Because here's the deal. Peter said that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You need to tell yourself, my name is not whom he may. I'm a whomsoever from the tribe of Judah. You're born again. Your job is to stay in his protection. Amen? Stay in that hedge of protection. The fastest way to get out of his protection is to fear. Now here's the thing. Courage is not the absence of fear. Fear is a spirit. You can feel the presence of that spirit a lot of times, but you don't have to invite that thing in, and you shouldn't. And here's how you invite it in. People run around saying, I am deathly afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid my kid is such an idiot that when he goes to town, he's going to do something so stupid, he's not going to get out of it. I'm afraid that if Biden stays in office much longer, he's going to just completely ruin the whole world. And we ain't going to have nothing to do. I'm afraid that if things don't change, the stock market's going to crash, I'm going to lose my IRA, I'm going to lose my retirement. Job said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. See, people preach about Job a lot, but they don't look at that verse. They gave him the answer. He said, he brought it on himself. He was worried about his kids. He thought his kids were being idiots. So he was having these sacrifices all the time. He was afraid of what his kids were doing. And the thing that he feared came upon him. When you talk about the things that you're afraid of all the time and accept that spirit into your heart, guess what? That's going to come on you. I'm not making a bad confession over you, but people do it all the time. I've watched them. They said, you know, my grandpa died of cancer. My dad died of cancer. I don't stand a chance. I'm going to get cancer. I ran into a guy one time down at the dollar store. And I was getting some stuff. I just needed a few little things. And he beat me to the till. He had a whole cart of stuff. And he was a big guy. But this cart was heaped up with coconut water. He had every single bottle of coconut water you could buy. He bought it all. And I'm curious by nature, you know. But I was standing there and I said, you know, what's up with the coconut water, man? And he said, my grandpa died of heart disease. My dad died of heart disease. And I'm going to drink this coconut water. And I sat there and I thought, dude, if you'd lose about 150 pounds, that'd help a lot. He was going for the coconut water, though. But look, he was afraid. You could tell he was afraid. He's toast. Unless he can get hooked up with God and get this thing turned around, he's toast. You know, people buy into these things and they take themselves out early. The devil, he just sits around and suggests a few things and these people buy into it and they drop. That flies. We're seeing it with this coronavirus thing. People are scared out of their mind. They don't need to be. But they listen to the devil. You know that's who's behind the mainstream media? The devil. He's pushing fear. You know he's a liar? You know one way to know he's a liar? Because almost every single year since I was a kid, there's been some terrible sickness floating around. Every year, a new disease. Every year. And, you know, we were supposed to have acid rain one time. You know, that was going to kill all the frogs and we were just going to die. We were going to have ice age a long time ago. We was going to have sweeping fire, you know, heat. It was going to be terrible. The world is, you know, they've told us the world was going to end every decade since I can remember. It seems like it started back in the hippie era. you know, the 60s, late 60s and 70s. And then those hippies, they just kind of kept pushing it, and then they went on to Washington, and now they're making laws. Yeah. That was plumb laughable. It was a serious situation, but they used to teach the kids to put a newspaper over their head and hide in the hallway or under their desk. How stupid is that? I mean, people need to think things through. They need to just consider the source and what's going on. Now, look over to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 4 says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." This is, it means you're literally covered over with favor, protection, and blessing. So how do we stay under his wings? How do we stay in the shadow of the Almighty? Grabbing his word and looking into it and reading it, hearing it and studying it and saying it, meditating on it. You know, there's lots of ways you can get his word into you. You just need to get it. That's how you stay abiding in the vine. That's how you stay in the shadow of the Almighty. Reading his word. Studying it. Now, go back to Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. Remember, we talked about the shield of grace. Need to stop and think about that for just a second. Because I've seen a lot of people that have wasted a lot of time trying to earn God's favor. You're already blessed and highly favored. You're already there because of the blood of Jesus. But it's a shield of grace, not of works. See, it's something that is given to you. It's not something that you could earn. Amen? Look, Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." That was Paul. He said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." So how can we frustrate the grace of God? By works, by trying to earn something that's already been given to us. Amen. By trying to be righteous by what we do instead of who we are. By trying to earn favor by what we do instead of who we are. See, it's more about who you are and actually who you belong to than what you do. Because if it was about what you do, then Jesus died in vain. See, if you could earn anything, if you could earn your righteousness, if you could earn your sanctification, if you could earn grace, favor, blessings, then Jesus shouldn't have got on the cross. But we couldn't. We couldn't do that, so Jesus had to get on the cross so that he could place us into that position. Amen? Remember, we talked about fighting from a place of position. Not fighting for a place of position. You know, sometimes people talk about themselves as being under the circumstances. You know, they say, "I'm under the weather. I have cancer. I have this. I have that." What they've done is made it their own. That you have been attacked with cancer, and that's as far as you need to go with that. You can say, I've been attacked in my body, but positionally speaking, I'm above this sickness. Amen? Now watch God show up and show off in your life when you fight from a position instead of for a position. Amen? So Galatians 2:21 says to not frustrate the grace of God. If he told us to not do that, he said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. So if he said that, then it must be possible for us to frustrate the grace of God. That's the last thing we want to do, is frustrate the grace of God. Don't get in the way of grace by trying to earn grace. You already have grace. It's been bestowed upon you. God made you that way. He made you righteous the same way. The same way he does everything, he freely gives it. Amen. The Bible tells us that he has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. He literally came to this teenage girl and said, Hail thou that are highly favored. Literally endued with grace. You know, it had to be the grace of God for her to conceive a child. She had now been with a man, the virgin birth. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Literally, he engraced us. He brought us together in Christ by grace. And that's favor. I was trying to explain grace to a guy one time. He's a lifelong Catholic, a really dear friend of mine. And I was telling him, I was trying to get this through to him. And finally, one day I said, you know something? We didn't do anything right. He agreed with that. I said, we didn't do anything right. There's nothing that we could do good enough for God. And he accepted that. I said, Jesus never done anything wrong. He never made a mistake. He accepted that. I said, Jesus swapped places with us. He took the punishment that we deserved so that we could have the blessing that he deserved. And he said, that's not fair. I said, that's grace. And he got it. He got it. But that's what it is. It's great. We didn't deserve any good thing. Look at Galatians chapter 18, verse 3. No. Genesis chapter 18, verse 3. I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 18, verse 3. You know, Genesis is the beginning. Galatians is in that part. You know, the Gentiles eat pork chops. That's how I learned my Bible. Galatians chapter 18, verse 3. It said, my Lord If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Now in the Old Testament, they had reason to ask if they had found favor with God. You know, there was always some uncertainty, you know, especially once they laid the law down. There was always uncertainty. You know, people were never really positive. Even the high priest was never really sure. You know, I understood that they tied a rope to his ankle when he went into the Holy of Holies. And when he was in there serving, I guess every once in a while he'd ring these bells, let everybody know he was still with them. And if they didn't hear them bells, since they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, or they'd be toast too, they'd drag him out of there. See, there was always uncertainty in the Old Testament because they were depending on their own efforts. This is a sure way to find out if you're depending on your own efforts or on the grace of God. If you find yourself uncertain about your abilities, if you find yourself uncertain about receiving blessings, if you find yourself wavy, where you think maybe sometimes God is happy with me and sometimes God is not so happy with me, you're depending on your own efforts. You're not depending on the grace of God. James calls that like a man on the wave of the sea, a double-minded man. You know, if I perform good this week, things are going to go well for me. If I don't perform good this week, maybe not so much. The Word of Faith circle, believe it or not, is torn up with the works. And they don't think they are, but they are. Look at Psalm chapter 41, verse 11. Psalm chapter 41, verse 11 says, "By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy does not triumph over me." Favorous means to be pleased with, to take pleasure in, to take care of. That's what that means. But see, these guys always needed to see something happen. You know, if something good happened, then they understood that they were favored. If something bad happened, they thought, well, I'm not favored. But here's the thing about Christians, they're following the same path today that these guys did in the Old Testament. They think, well, God has blessed me, I'm blessed and highly favored. And if something bad happens over here, God's mad at me because I got this flat tire, or I got this, or I got that. No, God is very well pleased with you. He paid for you with the blood of Jesus. He loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus with. You are blessed and highly favored. You just will agree with him. It would be good for you to agree with God on a few things. This is one of them. Amen. You're blessed and highly favored. Why am I so broke? Why don't I feel good? See, here's the thing. I don't know if you ever thought about a train going down a hill. and all of a sudden he sees something down there that he doesn't want to crash into. So he hits the brakes. Guess what happens? The train is still going forward. People are like train wrecks sometimes. Their confessions have caused them to go in a certain direction till finally they hit full speed, and then they start seeing that there's danger down the road. So they hit the brakes. And they go on for a couple days, and they wonder why their confession hasn't changed anything. You know, it's going to take a little bit to get that train stopped. And then you got to put it in reverse. And it's going to take you a little bit to get some momentum built up. But you can do it. You can get control of your tongue by the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing about Christians are curious creatures to me. Especially, the more religious they get, the funnier they are. I mean, these guys will not say a cuss word. I mean, you couldn't beat a cuss word out of them. But they'll throw one bad confession right after another, right after another, right after another down. But they believe their righteousness is right out there at the top because they didn't say a cuss word. But then they can't figure out why they're sick and afraid, why they're broke, why all these different things happen to them. Because you can't control your tongue. They said, I don't ever cuss. I said, I didn't say anything about cussing. I said, you curse yourself. You curse your kids. You curse your land. You curse your... You run around cursing things you don't have any business cursing. Well, I don't cuss. I said, I don't care if you cuss. You just said, this place, it never rains in this place. This is a desert. You know how many times I've heard that here? I said, no, a desert. Go to Wyoming. You want to see a desert? There's a desert there. This is not a desert. This is a beautiful place. Isn't it just as easy to call this a beautiful place? See, this is how you get in line with the favor and grace of God, is by agreeing with Him and what He says. People want one thing, but they say another thing. See, they want green grass and rain and flowers and all this wonderful stuff, but they run around calling this a desert. Well, it never rains here. Well, why don't you get your tongue in line with the Word of God and start blessing this place and see what God can do? Huh? I had this conversation with a guy this spring, winter, in fact. He said, I don't want to invest any more money in this place because this drought isn't going anywhere. He said, all these people said it's not going anywhere. It's here. And I said, that is not true. I said, that's not true. It's going to rain. I didn't have any weather reports for it. I didn't look at the Farmer's Almanac. I just believed that God was going to bless this place with rain. You know, He can bless you with health if you'll get in line with it. He can bless you with safety if you'll get in line with it. He'll bless you with peace. This is how we get in line with His favor and grace. This is how we get it supercharged in our lives. Get in His Word and find out what He says about it and agree with it. You're going to agree with something anyway. whether you like to believe it or not, you're going to agree with something. There are people running around that are afraid the COVID bug is going to get them. They're in agreement with the devil. There's people running around saying, no, I've got a God that loves me. I've got an immune system that works. Take communion every Sunday or every day or whatever you do. I believe that I'm going to be okay. Well, guess what? As you think in your heart, so are you. As a man thinketh in his heart. I wish the devil didn't have such a hold on me when I was in junior high. Because I ran into that book. I don't know if you would ever find one in a high school library ever again. But it was Kenneth Hagin wrote that book, As a Man Thinketh. I found that in our high school library. And I thought, wow, that sounds kind of interesting, kind of weird. You know, for a junior high kid, I thought, I'm going to read that. So I started reading it. And then it started talking about kind of having to be born again and that shield came over my eyes and scales came over my eyes and I closed that book and put it away. Man, that would have been a good book to latch on to when I was in junior high. You know what? As a man thinketh, so is he. Well, the children of Israel, they found out the hard way. You know, they went in there and they spied out the land. They came back to Moses and they said, we seen ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. When they seen the giants, they said, we seen ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. How'd they see themselves? What'd they look at? They're looking at the wrong thing. Amen. We have an absolute necessity of faith is the secret of pleasing God. Remember, the Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. This is not some super tricky thing. It's believing God. Remember, the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and God had accounted it to him for righteousness. So you just believe God. Believe what He said about you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the healed of the Lord. You're going to believe something, you just will believe what God says about you. Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and favor. We thank you for your mercy and your love. We thank you, Father, for everything that Jesus does for us every day. We thank you for blessing us in spite of ourselves. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to show us how to get out of the way and get in line with you, so we can receive even more of your grace and mercy, even more of your favor and blessing. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.